It is a special day. You get two sermons. Aren't you glad I'm relatively short? That better be not sarcastic. Hey, it's a dark day outside. It's cold in here because hopefully this is the last week with a broken furnace, so we're trying to heat this place. But you know, you can come in here and it's cold and it's dark and you probably have plans. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out into the spirit, in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, listen to this new covenant, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Lord, let us take a hold of that right now. We just sang, I am made for more. Fact is, the devil wants us to accept mediocrity. The devil wants us to accept status quo. The devil wants us to accept, hey, you know what, man, it's not going to get any better, so why? But Lord, we are made for more. And you're speaking that you are going to cause breath. And I know you're speaking to that day, but you're speaking to your church today, Lord. You're speaking to us that we need to lay it all down for you, Father. We need to allow you to move. We need to have hope, Lord. You are not a hopeless God. Our circumstances and my circumstances do not determine what you're going to do and who you are. Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged today. We would seek your face, Lord, that we would know that you're going to move in a powerful way, oh God. Encourage us. You do encourage us. Let us accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sermon number two, imparting life. Psalm 78 says, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Lord, it's Mother's Day. You know what? I'll probably preach, to be honest with you, the same verses on Father's Day. We need to impart life, Lord God. Maybe you're sitting here saying, I'm not a father, I'm not a mother, I don't even have a significant other. Well, you know what God is still saying to you? I want you to impart life to others. Life isn't my opinions. Life isn't society's norms. Life is Jesus Christ died for our sins, and when we accept that and embrace you, Christ, we have eternity. We live in a topsy-turmoil world. But as I look at church history and cultures from past, fact is, what we are facing today isn't any harder than what people faced in the past. You're still faithful. I get the dry bones, Lord. I get to just people in this room that their relationship with you, light the fire again, Lord. Let us accept our faith grows in the mundane. We need you, Lord Jesus. Help us to embrace you today. In your name, amen. According to a Barna report, about 6 in 10 practicing Christians say they came to faith because of a believer that influenced them. And it came from the household they lived in. 68% say a mom's influence with Christ touched their lives deeply. So what I'm talking about today is we need to strive to be an example for Jesus Christ. You know, like I said, you know, Mother's Day is a day of mixed emotions. And I get that. You know, some of the people that I've dealt with, you know, a lot of times Mother's Day brings out a lot of stuff, and it really, it's hard. But the message I want to talk to us about today, you got to influence people. We live in a culture. I'm trying to see who I can embarrass. She can be a mother. So can I. If I said that 15 years ago, y'all would have laughed. I open up my iPhone and have a picture of a pregnant man. I'm sorry, we live in a topsy turmoil world. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to hide under a rock and cower. Because I got Jesus Christ. I'm called to be a light. And you know what? When people talk to me about that, I give them a straight face. I don't make, you know, on the inside, I might be doing somersaults. But I don't flip out. Greater is he who is in the world than he who is in me. Whoa, I don't think it says that. I think it says greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. But the world doesn't. I don't care. Who is the prince of the world? D-E-V-I-L. Okay? Don't freak out. I just finished a book by Larry Osborne. And I'm really thinking about doing a classes here this summer on it. It's called Accidental Pharisees. And it is cool because you will read it and you will get convicted. But one of the things I like about Larry Osborne, like we did a program a few years ago, Thriving in Babylon. We think we have it bad today. Daniel, my man, rocked in Babylon, even though he had an occultic name. And guess what? He had to learn about witchcraft. But he kept his eyes on God, and he didn't freak out. So let's not freak out. Let's impart life. Because today, you know what we're doing today? What is that, Pastor? We are bracing for impact. You ever been in an accident? My daughter was. Years ago, she had this old Dodge Stratus slush through her across into the other oncoming car. She hit head-on with a Ford Expedition. She said, I was trying to calm myself down because I remember in driver's ed they were saying, drunk people don't get hurt because they relax. So she's trying to relax. You know. So anyways, her car was total. Except for where she sat. The driver of the expedition got a broken leg. So she had to brace for impact. Now I'm talking about a good impact. We need to brace for impact because you know what? God is asking us to impact your world. You know, one of the things that I like about this book I read, and I'm not a disciple of Larry Osborne, I'm a disciple of Jesus. He talks about, you know, one thing we can't do is I can't view you through my giftings. Like if you're an evangelist, and I've shared this example before, if you have an evangelistic gifting, when you get on an airplane, you pray for the person next to you. I get on a plane, if my wife's not with me, I pray that nobody sits there. And that's not wrong. That's not my gift. You know, and if I have this other gift, I can't look and say, well, how come you're not like that? And Larry Osborne shared, you know, when I first got saved, I would read the Bible till late at night. And I wondered, why aren't other people like that? You know, like a couple weeks ago, George Grace spoke here, and he was my assistant, and we get along smashingly, but we're different people. Like I can read a John Grisham novel. He can't read anything unless he's learning something. Now, my life's a whole lot more fun, in my opinion, but what I'm saying is, so God, brace for impact. God has made you to be you for a certain reason. And the first thing that I want to talk about is we need to establish our testimony. If you ever talk to Patty Dox Dater, my mother-in-law, there's one thing you're going to know. That woman loved Jesus Christ. And she didn't have the best testimony. When she was young, her mom gave her up to be raised by her grandmother, and her mom favored her brothers instead. And she had a hard life. But man, then she got saved. And the woman brought me to Jesus Christ. But her testimony was, man, you got to try this Jesus. You know, she'd invite people to church, and they would minister to people, and they would just love on people. Now, my mama wasn't a Christian to the end of her life, but I remember she would talk to me about Patty and say, man, you know, Patty really loves people. After my dad died, you know, because they lived about 5 houses apart, she'd have her up and they'd play cards and all kinds of stuff. See, she made an impact. Now, when my mom went up to her house, she didn't open the Bible. They didn't do Romans Road. But her love opened the door. And how you live your life cannot be meant to please you. It has to be to please Jesus. The decisions I make carefully, and I make tentatively and say, Lord, this is what I'd like to do. But one of the things we have to realize, we influence other people. A few years ago, we lived up north. You have not had pizza till you go to Carthage, New York, and have Stefano's Pizza. Oh, I know there's one in Pulaski, and I know there's one in Mexico. There's no comparison. I remember once we had some guest speakers at the church, and I took them there, and we ordered pizza and wings, and we got done, and then we ordered round two. But it was just, so this is an incredible place. So we would go there quite often. I remember one night, I'm driving home through Champion, New York, and these lights on this car behind me. So I pull over. Yes, sir. Have you been drinking? No, I don't drink. Just had some Pepsi. Do you know you're on the shoulder of the road? Well, I will try not to. And then he left me alone. I drive on the shoulder of the road for one reason. Not on purpose, subconsciously. My mom used to get so nervous because my dad would drive more toward the center. So I remember she would tell, and it hit me after he left, and my family was very gracious in their comments to me. But I realized, wow, my mom impacted me in ways I didn't remember. So what are you impacting God? Well, I mean, excuse me, what are you impacting people for? What impression do you make? Are you showing them, man, you loving Jesus? Or, he's in your life someplace. You know, I love the psalmist in this verse. He tells us we need to instruct our children because the next generation matters to God. You know, I love 1 Samuel. In fact, let's look at this. Remember Hannah? Poor woman couldn't get pregnant. Then she prays, and she's praying, and the priest thinks she's crocked early in the morning. Goes, I'm not drunk, I'm praying because I want a kid. Sir, do you remember me, Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Moms and dads, will you please listen to this? Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life, and they worshiped the Lord there. That is proper parenting. You give him to the Lord. I deal with a lot of relational problems, and a lot of times it's, you know, we don't understand the hierarchy. God, my wife, my children. It cannot be my children, God, my spouse. It cannot be God, my children, my spouse. It's God, then my spouse, then my children. You know, Carrie and Maggie Beaumont grew up very loved. But they knew one thing, Melody comes before you. And she would tell them, your father comes before you. Why? Because you're going to leave us. One's in southern Maryland, one's up way in the north country. Now, we love them to death. But if we don't get God's order correct, we mess it up. This woman prayed for, and she, I'm not saying she did, it's not like a baby dedication. She left her child at the temple. But she prayed for this child for so long, but she knew it was God's hand that moved. So So if you want to have an example of your testimony, you got to put Jesus first. They have to know. I mean, you know, and let me tell you one thing I learned the hard way about faith. You saying yes to God is going to impact family and friends in a negative way. Sometimes you're going to say yes to God, and they're going to suffer for it. But it's a lack of faith if we enable it and say, okay, let me pull back on my decision. I've been tempted to do that multiple times. But then I realized, wait a minute, if I take my way, not God's way, it ain't working out. So even though it's hard on my kids, and yeah, I have made decisions that have brought me to tears because of what I saw it did to my family, but I knew it was God. We have to love God enough where we don't fit him into our life, but he is our life. We need to take the lead. Moms, parents, you got to take the lead. You know, we need to allow our children to learn and grow. We need to allow to establish roles. You know, as a husband, I have a role. As my wife, Melody, has a role. You know, George touched on it a couple weeks ago. My man Adam sinned because he didn't protect his wife. He didn't take the role he was supposed to take. And we live in a world where I am so stinking sorry. Women, I'm a big fan of women. But I am tired of watching TV and you guys wear capes and are superheroes and the guys are Eddie Flumdum. It's not that women can't be amazing. I remember kidding around when I first got married. My wife said to me, I can take you, you know. Scary part was it was a true statement. So I'm not diminishing anything. I'm saying roles. Is Jesus any less than the Father? God the Father, God the Son, he served the Father. Now, let me say one thing. I'm not saying if you're in a wrong, not a wrong relationship, but a strange relationship, I'm not saying you just kowtow and submit to everything. What I'm saying is you get things right. If you need help, you get help. But what I'm saying is we have to have things in a proper order. Do not cop out by letting your kids make decisions for you. But they don't like that. I mean, I like what Greg Laurie says, Pastor Greg Laurie. He had a son that passed away in a car accident about 15 years ago or so, but he said as long as they lived in my house, they went to church. Even when they graduated, if they needed a place to live, they'd go to church, but they didn't want to. Well, you don't have to live here then. If you live here in my house, these are the rules. Ooh, I'm touching some people today. I want my kids to see that I love Jesus Christ. We need to establish rules. Hannah longed for a son so much that she's pouring her heart out into the church, praying and praying. She's praying so much that the pastor thought she was drunk. But her faith, God gave me this son. Can you imagine the joy she must have felt when she was pregnant after years and years? And believe me, that was, you got ridiculed. It's a lot more normal to have people without children nowadays. But when that child came, she gave it to the Lord. How cool is that? It's kind of like you pray for this really great job and you get this great job and you give your first 15 paychecks to God. What? That's what God's asking us to do. He's not telling you to do it. He's telling you you have to be willing to do it. Moms, you are a role model of love, grace. You're a role model of truth and strength to your children. To me, there's no greater love than a mom for her children. I've watched my wife over the years how sacrificial she is, especially when it comes to kids. You know, we went up to Chemo on Friday because my grandson had croup and they both had to work, so they didn't pray for us. We watched this little 2.5-year-old on steroids. He moved from 6:15 in the morning until 12:30 in the afternoon. I was looking for some, it's not chloroform, but you know when they used to do the operations, you'd put them I was looking everywhere and I couldn't find it. When I tried to fake sleeping, he'd come over and say, Grandpa, what? And I did. Enjoy your children, but model the right thing to them. Establish a strong foundation. Jesus says the foundation for our life has to be the rock, which is Him. Everything else fails. Everything else is going to fail. Maybe not overnight, but eventually it is going to fail. Bible reading and prayer has to be evident in the parent's life. Not, okay, Mel, take the kids to bed and read to them. I'm good. No, I had to be involved in it. I liked the picture Bible. It actually taught me stuff I didn't know. So God says, come to Him like a child. I'm in. We need to maintain a strong faith. I'm not saying you don't get emotional. I'm not saying that you don't get rocked by world events. But let your kids see. And if you don't have kids, let the world see. You ain't moving off. You ain't budging off of Jesus. Make decisions based on the Word of God, not your emotions. I go to doctors that tell me about my cholesterol, blood pressure. Have you ever had a Pizza Villa calzone? If you just go to Pizza Villa and get a cheese calzone, I think they serve it as manna in heaven. By the way, that reminded me, we got to get back into the Lord's Supper. So if anybody wants to head up communion, talk to me, and we'll start doing that monthly again. But anyways, it is amazing. I could eat a large one almost by myself, but then I have the rest for breakfast. But I can't base my life on emotions, or I'm going to see Jesus quicker than I'm supposed to. Proverbs 22:6, I know a lot of you know this. Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's ESV. They, she, both won't depart from it. Let your kids see that Jesus matters to you. Through the pain, through the happiness, let them see, forgive me, how much of a sacrifice it is to love Jesus Christ. Okay, now we're heading to back, because I know you got plans. Our youth is the future. Why do we believe? I'm going to tell you how much we believe this at the church. Since 1979, when Oswego Community Christian School was formed, we have given well over $2 million to that school as a church. I remember years ago, I was on the board at the school, and some of the board members from other churches were kind of getting into it with me, and sometimes I can cop an attitude. I said, you want to see my new church? This is it. The school is what we chose to do rather than put it into a church. Why children matter to us? I am pleased to announce we hired a woman named Megan Johnson as our new principal. She attends CMA Church in Baldwinsville, New York. It's an amazing thing. Oh, yeah, let's talk about children. I love Joe and Robin Clark, but of July 1st, we need new Sunday school leaders. So I want you to pray about it. And you know, my theory on when you pray about doing something, you never pray, God, why should I do this? You pray, God, why shouldn't I do this? I don't feel called. You have my permission to slap anybody that says that. Jesus Christ says, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He didn't say, if I feel called. He gave his life. Now, I'm not trying to manipulate, but I am trying to make a point that church is an investment, church is service. I know, like I said, I know being a mom is hard work. I know being a parent is hard work. I know living today is a hard work, but think about a glorious mission field. I've had people tell me, I can't do anything. All I do is stay home and watch my children. Hello? What a fantastic ministry. Or I've had people say to me, I'm caring for my elderly parents. That's all I can do. What do you mean that's all you can do? How cool is that? How cool is that? I mean, that we look at different hierarchies of what ministry is, and God says, I'm sorry, this is important stuff I'm talking about. You know, God doesn't call us to go it alone. We need companionship. We need encouragement. If you're a parent or if you just have life, you need flexibility. You know, make out your schedule between now and Thursday at 3 o'clock and tell me how right on you were. You know, Ron Hutchcraft says, and he has a book for youth, A Jesus of Their Own, Fighting for the Next Generation. You know, we need to resist focusing on trivial things like fashion. We're not in their shoes. Guess what, older generation? And I'm talking to us. We're old fogies. The older we get, the less we like to change. We listen to the music they have. We don't like it. We look at it. No, I don't get fashion. That's kind of obvious. When I was young, when it was cold, I'd put a Carhartt hat on my head. Not when it's July and it's 90 degrees out. And I was in Walmart this year. It was sleeting out. There's slush. It's 22 degrees. And there's a guy with flip-flops and shorts in Walmart. That has to be illegal. I'm sorry, I don't get fashion. I like comfort. Those of you wearing shorts today, stop because you're freezing me out. So what am I trying to say? A Jesus of their own. Guess what, boomers? Why did a gospel outreach, which turned into New Covenant Community Church, why was it so important to us, and why did we love it? Because it was a different church. It wasn't the Morrisville Methodist Church that I visited twice in my life before I came to know the Lord. It's something I could relate to. This generation coming up can't relate to us, because they're not us. We don't understand the problems they have. I praise God I didn't have the internet when I was in high school. I praise God I didn't have the temptations that are out there. So rather than, I don't understand piercings, okay? When I first started dating my wife, a friend of mine's father was a physician's assistant, so brilliant boy here, I decided to pierce my own ear. So I took a hypodermic needle, whatever you do with a shot, and I went, but then I couldn't put my earring in. Then I realized, because I put it in here, but it came out up here. So it traveled the whole length of my... So I realized, okay, God, because I was a brand new... Some things are not meant to be. My brother goes, you know, your dad would have killed you, right? That wasn't fun. So what am I trying to say? I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about it's a different world. That's why for 3 years I talked about change, because I don't want a church that's just comfortable for my generation. I want it comfortable for the next generation too. Our youth are our future. One of the things that we have to do is we have to listen to people, but you need to hear them too. When you listen to people, James tells us, be quick to listen and slow to speak. As somebody's talking to you, I know what's going to happen. You're going to get a brilliant response to them. And as soon as they shut up and have the wisdom to let you speak, the words that flow from your mouth are going to be like an oracle from the heavens. And I get that. But quit thinking about what you're going to say when people talk to you. I shared this example before, but it's Mother's Day, so I can embarrass my wife some more. In 2016, we get a Christmas card from this girl that we knew. And she wrote this really long letter to my wife. When we were 3 years old, my parents had a Christmas party. I was in the kitchen. I asked you a question. You got down on your knees and looked me in the eye and listened to me. I will never forget that I mattered to you. There was a one-minute interaction with a child. And she listened. We got along. learn to listen. We got to learn, and this amazes me. There's times my wife doesn't need my opinion. Now, if we're men, we don't get that because we're fix-it people. And of course they need our wisdom because that's why God put us together. Hello. But sometimes I just got to show the love of Christ. Oh, we can, as a church, I can have a bunch of programs. We can do a bunch of things. Let me tell you what impacts people, the gospel, and us living the way Jesus wants us to. So we're not going to focus on what we think the world should be like. We're not going to focus our opinions. I'm going to enter the world of the person I'm talking to. And I'm going to listen to them, and I'm not going to be shaken, and then I'm going to be able to interact with them. For Paul writes, hopefully,
Jeff.
For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. What is he saying here? I relate to people on their level. If they're acting Jewish and inside, I can act that way, though I don't agree with it. If they don't have the law, if they're Gentiles, I hit them where they're at. I don't come at them high and mighty. I come and hit them because you know what? I like the saying for Christians, we are beggars showing other beggars where to get food. We're not all that, and one thing we have to do is hit people on their level. I've taken a bunch of preaching classes in my life, and they teach one thing. Preach on the sixth grade level. Or if you want to get haughty-taughty, raise it up to the seventh grade level. Because we want people to understand what we're saying. So what Paul is saying is, don't be rocked by the people you encounter. Hit them where they're at. You know, when I'm building a relationship with people, you know, their language a lot of times isn't like my language. They use words I would never use. They talk to God, but not the same way I do. But I build that relationship so that I can show them my Jesus. I don't build that relationship so that I can be like them. I build it so that they can trust me because I want to invest in somebody, and I've learned the best way for me to invest is sometimes to listen, to do things I don't want to do because I don't feel like it. This gospel thing isn't about convenience. It's not about my priorities, but Paul is saying, hey, I'm free, but I made myself a servant to all. So Lord, we're listening to that. I forgot I got one more slide. Summary, moms, parents, everyone, let your life impact others for Jesus Christ. Let's show Jesus by how we live. We need to invest in the future generation. So Lord, thank you for Mother's Day. Lord, I pray that you would touch those that today's a hard day for them for various reasons. You know what? I love Jesus. I never get tired to hear, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Lord, the sins of my life don't shock you. They don't shut off your love for me. When I'm really down and out, Lord, and I feel like, how can I ever talk to God because I'm scum? Well, Lord, that's when you want to let us know. You're just opening up your arms and you want us to come to you, confess all, and to be healed by you, Lord. Father, you will give us strength to face whatever we have to go through because you tell us in this world we will indeed have tribulations. Because we live in a fallen, broken world due to sin. but you will get us through this world when we focus on you. And Lord, I do pray that today we would all say, you know what, maybe I'm not a parent, but I can impact the lives of my family. Maybe I'm not a parent, but I have friends that I can impact by living for you, Jesus. And Lord, let us be servants as your son was. Let us understand, God, that I need to invest myself in the lives of others to allow the doors of the gospel to be opened. Give us the grace and the discernment we need, Lord. Let us have the heart that Paul did. I will relate to people on their level. To the intelligent, I will relate on that level. To those without as much education, I will relate on that level. I'm not going to intimidate them. I'm going to relate to them. I'm going to be a brother to them. I'm going to love them. And I'm going to be ready when you say to go, to tell them about the gospel and the loving kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray for anybody today that's going through it, Lord, that they would just allow you to touch them, to fill them. Lord, I lift up Kate Ziegler and her family to you in this time, that you would continue to be merciful and compassionate to them, that through this hard time, Lord, that the name of Jesus Christ will indeed be glorified. And Lord, I don't know everybody in this room, but I just, Lord, you tell us that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, that no one gets to the Father, no one gets to heaven outside of you. So, Lord, I pray that maybe we've had a relationship with you for a long time, that we would just recommit today. But maybe you've never, if you're listening here or at home, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. It's simple. You acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son. You acknowledge that he died, he paid the penalty for sin, which is death. You acknowledge he rose again. You ask him to forgive you. Then you repent, which means I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to do a 180, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ and ask him into my heart. So I pray that we would do that, Lord. And maybe there's some of you in this room, you think you've done it, but I would ask you to really evaluate that and to recommit. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in our lives. We sang, I was made for more. And I know there's some people sitting in the chairs and the devil's trying to downplay their capabilities of their worth. Come on. Shut up, Satan. We got Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would see our significance and our value is in you, and you have chosen each and every one of us for a purpose, and that's to glorify you. And you don't care what our abilities are. You don't care what our intelligence is. You don't care what our gifting is, because you do not call the equipped, as the saying goes. You equip the call. So when we say yes, you give us what we need to further your kingdom in this place. So, Lord, thank you for this incredible church. Pray that you would bless everybody today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Love you guys.